For Az-Zur, according to some of the major companions and some of the Mufassireen and Imam Ahmad and others, they translate or explain Az-Zur, the falsehood here, as the holidays of the Mushrikeen. The holidays of the Mushrikeen. And others like Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah are more explicit, stating that the verse defines the people of shirk practicing their shirk. And the verse is admonishing us not to participate with them, and thus those are the believers in the verse that are mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, those who do not witness falsehood. And of course, it is not befitting for a Muslim who wants righteous children to allow them to celebrate a day when they're thought that the dead are thought to return and to beg for candy dressed like a devil. Righteousness doesn't just come up suddenly, but it must start at an early age. So we advise those Muslims to prevent their children from such celebrations and to explain why to them. Because a lot of times parents underestimate the level of understanding of their children. So they'll give them ridiculous explanations, thinking that the kid won't understand the real reason, and that'll just confuse the kids more. If they just tell them, you know, the evil of the celebration, the child will understand that. But unfortunately, most people just try to belittle the kids and so on, and then they don't get the desired response or effect that they wanted. So let's some commentary from the Mufassir al-Tabari rahimahullah. He explains this aspect and he says, it is not allowed for Muslims to attend their, meaning the disbelievers, holidays and festivals because they're a type of evil and falsehood. If the people of good mix with the people of evil without putting an end to what they're doing, they become like those who are pleased and influenced by evil. What is the difference between them? And we fear falling into Allah's anger because of their gathering. I just remembered another hadith. You remember the hadith when Aisha radiallahu anha was asking the Prophet ﷺ that when the punishment of Allah comes, does it destroy both the good and the bad? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, it destroys everybody. So with that, the scholars commented, saying that perhaps the good will be destroyed with the evil, one, because it will be an expiation for them. This punishment will take away from their sins on the Day of Judgment. And two, perhaps they did not do enough to stop this wicked deed. This is why At-Tabari, when he's saying that if they just go and gather with the people of evil without trying to stop them, they become like those, like the evil ones themselves. What is the difference then? So this is concerning Halloween, and alhamdulillah, there a lot of Muslims are, they see its apparent evil and wickedness and so on. But now we move to Thanksgiving. Allah Allah. And most people, they have this intense love for Thanksgiving, which I don't understand, and to the point where they want to fight with their Muslim brothers because of some oversized chicken. Thanksgiving. So let's look at this now. Could it be possible that just somebody out of the blue thought, okay, let me choose the last Thursday of November and make that a day where we thank Allah, thank God? There has to be some history behind it. So let's look at it. It was first celebrated in early colonial times in New England. And why did these pilgrims and early colonists suddenly decide to thank Allah? Did they just make this up? It was actually a well-known festival that has its roots in the Bible and occurs in many, many different parts of the world as well. It was, in biblical times, a festival of thanksgiving after the grain harvest. So after they harvest all the grains, yeah, because they've been planting them, they've been expecting and praying for rain, and now finally the grains have grown and they have harvested them. So what do they do after the harvest? They give thanks. They thank their Lord. And this was in 1621, after the first harvest was completed in the colonies in Plymouth. The governor, William Bradford, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving and prayer to be shared by all the colonists and all the neighboring Native Americans. In 1623, they had this day of fasting and prayer, and they changed it to a day of thanksgiving, or actually, no, because the rain came while they were making their prayers. This is one of those coincidences that people love. Yeah? So while they were praying, the rain came, so they made this a day of thanksgiving. And then different states started to adopt thanksgiving as an annual custom, as an annual Eid, and different states adopted this day at different times. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln appointed a day of thanksgiving, and since then, every president issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation and so on, and they designated the fourth Thursday of November as a holiday. So it is not a secular Eid, and wouldn't be logical for it anyways to be secular. Even if it were, it wouldn't matter. And it's not our Eid, and that's enough. And the pilgrims were actually following a biblical practice of thanking God for the grain harvest, and eventually it became a fixed date, and during which families gather together and they eat turkey and they thank God, or more realistically, they thank Jesus. And this is shirk. We don't want any part of that. And around the world, the Greek people have a day when they thanked Demetes, which is the goddess of grains. The Romans also had a goddess, and they celebrate the harvest festival. The Chinese also had one. The Jews had one, and even in Egypt, they have a harvest festival. So it's a common thing. I'd like to read you a part of the, for those still in doubt, and those would not be from amongst us, the proclamation of President Abraham Lincoln. He says, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at the sea and those who are in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent," and this is why I wanted to read this, "Father who dwelleth in the heavens." And this is not us. And we never refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Father. تعالى الله عن ذلك علوا كبيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from that. So Muslims should not partake in this. It's not our Eid. Nor are the Muslims to eat turkey on the day of Thanksgiving. It's not permissible to eat the turkey on the last Thursday of November. So one might say, okay, well, this is very extreme. What is this Wahhabi talking about? So let's pause here. Within extremes, there are typically two ends, this extreme end and this extreme end. And there's always the middle path, right? There's always the middle that is between those two extremes. So in the case of an extreme of being too hard or too extreme in the religion and being too lax in the religion, what is the middle? The Prophet ﷺ, the guidance of the Prophet, no one would dare say he was in one extreme or the other. Definitely he was in the middle, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's look at what he would have done. Would he have celebrated this? And isn't he the one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was going to prohibit or forbid the man from slaughtering his camels in a place that was only used by the kuffar in the past? Wasn't he not the one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who replaced the 2 days of sports, and sports is halal for the Medinians? Was he not the one who asked the Muslims to have a different color in their gray hairs from the Jews and the Christians? So then the reason and the logic behind why the scholars say you should not eat turkey on the day of Thanksgiving is very simple. How does one celebrate Thanksgiving? People gather and they eat turkey. So if you eat turkey on that day, and most probably you're not going to cook it for yourself, people will gather with you, then in essence, you have celebrated that day. And this is the logic, the simple logic behind why scholars say you shouldn't eat it on that day. So we should be careful how we throw around this term extreme, and this is extreme and so on. And if people think this is extreme, then what will they have to say about Umar radiallahu anhu when he said, اجتنبوا أعداء الله في أعيادهم. He says, stay away, keep clear. Stay away from the enemies of Allah in the days of their Eid. This is Umar radiallahu anhu speaking to us. During his reign, it's another incident. Muslim women, they liked some of the garments that the women of the kuffar in Asham were wearing. So they started to make garments similar to the garments of the women of the kuffar in al-Sham. So when Umar heard of this, radiallahu anhu, he wrote to his governor, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiallahu anhu. I'll read what he wrote. He said, I have come to know that some of the women of the Muslims have come to wear the clothes of the kuffar. Fear Allah. Fear Allah and forbid that and allow anything besides it. Allahu Akbar. We're an ummah, we're a separate ummah, we're distinct. We have our own izzah. And it's not befitting for us to want to follow those of the kuffar or so on. So then, some argue that thanking Allah is a good deed. So why not thank Allah on the day of Thanksgiving as we thank Him on any other day? So realistically, this is just an excuse. Because they can just then say, Allahumma laka alhamd, Allahumma laka ash-shukr, alhamdulillah. Why the turkey? Why the gathering? It's just an excuse realistically so they can participate in the celebration. And fasting is a good deed. Remember? But the Prophet ﷺ made us fast a day before or after Ashura just to be different. And praying with the shoes off, the Prophet ﷺ asked us to sometimes pray with our shoes on so it can be different from the mushrikeen. And in the same manner, thanking is a good deed. But we have a way in which we do our good deed. And any deed to be accepted, it has to have certain characteristics. So this is a great benefit, inshallah we'll look at this. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, deeds are four categories. One accepted and three rejected. The accepted deed is that which is done purely for Allah and in agreement with the sunnah. This is the accepted deed. Done purely for Allah and in agreement with the sunnah. Why do we do it? Purely for Allah. How? In agreement with the sunnah. While the rejected deed is that which is missing both or one of the two qualities. So what does that mean? Either it's not done for Allah nor as the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Or it can be that you didn't do it really for Allah, maybe you did it to show off to people or so on, but you did it according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's also not accepted. Or maybe you did it for Allah Azza wa Jal, but it wasn't anything from the sunnah, it was some kind of bid'ah. And this is also not accepted, even though your intention was good and so on. And then he continues, rahimahullah, saying that is because the accepted deed is that deed which Allah loves and is pleased with. He loves only what He has commanded and what is done solely for Him. Other than that deed, he hates it and he hates its performers. He hates any other deed and those who do it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. If anyone introduces into this affair of ours, meaning Islam, anything which does not belong to it, it is rejected. And one of the Maliki fuqaha, his name is Ibn al-Qasim rahimahullah, says, مَنْ ذَبَحَ بِالطِّيخَ فِي يَوْمِ عِيدِهِمْ فَكَأَنَّمَا ذَبَحَ خِنْزِيرًا. He says, whoever slaughters a watermelon, what does it mean to slaughter a watermelon? Just to cut open a watermelon, on the day of their Eid, it is as if he slaughtered a pig. Now, we move to Christmas. And Christmas is a bid'ah even from the Christian perspective. So it's bad enough to congratulate them on an actual Eid. Now we're going to congratulate them on an Eid that's even a bid'ah in their religion. The first thing is that, of course, the birth of Isa alayhi salam, who they claim to be the son of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from that, is not known. And people typically back then did not care about birth dates. They cared more about the day when people passed away. And as the same argument with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, no one knew this was the messenger of Allah. So the exact date is unknown. But when he died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were 100,000 plus Muslims. They remember that day, which is the day we celebrate now as the birth date. It's very sad. So we look at the same phenomenon that happened when the Catholics tried to bring a pagan holiday close to theirs, so theirs may prevail. We see that there was a popular Roman religion, okay, that observed December 25th as a day of feasting and celebration. And at the same time, there were pagans who celebrated the winter solstice, and they called it Invincible Sun, S-U-N. And it was either December 21st or 22nd. So to enhance, look at this now, this is the logic. To enhance the appeal of Christianity among the pagans and to unify them, the Roman bishop Liberius in 354 chose December 25th as the birth date of Jesus. So in essence, it's a bid'ah. And this man, he takes a day of celebration of kuffar, or in his mind, pagans, he combines it. He says, this is the date of the birth of Jesus. And then, we don't want to get into it biblically, but there are biblical passages forbidding the cutting of trees and bringing them into your home and decorating them. This is exactly what they do. And so in that sense, it's also the tree is a bid'ah. There's a one church called the Church of Latter-day Saints, not the Mormons. And they are very much against the tree and all the other bid'ahs. And there was also one of the gods, there was a sun god of the Persians. His name was Mithras or Mithra. And he was born on December 25th, and he was also the son of a virgin. And the lesson here is, look what happens when people attempt to merge their religion or compensate other festivals. This is what happens. So, with that, we'd like to get into greeting the kuffar on Christmas and other holidays. The ruling is that it's haram. And this is by the consensus of the scholars. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, congratulating the kuffar on the rituals that belong only to them is haram by consensus, as is congratulating them on their festivals and fasts by saying a happy festival to you, or Merry Christmas, or so on, or may you enjoy your festival, and so on. If the one who says this has been saved from kufr, meaning he's a Muslim, it is still forbidden. It is like look at this comparison. It is like congratulating someone for prostrating to the cross, or even worse than that. He says, it is a great sin as congratulating someone for drinking wine, or murdering someone, or having illicit sexual relations, and so on. So just imagine, now you come into someone, and he's killing somebody. He's slaughtering someone, and the blood is over his clothes, and his hands, and it's everywhere, and you tell him, oh, happy killing. Or you find someone drinking alcohol, happy intoxication. Or someone fornicating, happy fornication. You wouldn't do that. These are the ugliest of deeds. But the problem is that some Muslims, and we ask Allah that we're not amongst those, have lost the hatred for shirk. And shirk is worse than murdering someone, worse than alcohol, and worse than fornication. So he continues, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, saying, many of those who have no respect for their religion fall into this error. He's speaking about Muslims. They fall into this error. They do not realize the offensiveness of their actions. Whoever congratulates a person for his disobedience or bid'ah or kufr exposes himself to the wrath and the anger of Allah. So, in a sense, it also implies that your acceptance with the ritual and so on, you're asking them to enjoy it and so on. And the rule is that the Muslim should not accept the rituals of kufr, nor congratulate anyone else for them. Because Allah does not accept any of that at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you disbelieve, then verily Allah is not in need of you. He likes not disbelief for His slaves. And if you are grateful, He is pleased therewith, or He is pleased for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you disbelieve, then verily Allah is not in need of you. He likes not disbelief for His slaves. And if you are grateful, He is pleased with you. So, congratulating them is forbidden. And whether they are your colleagues at work or at school, is still forbidden. And if they do greet you or tell you Merry Christmas and so on, you should not respond. And because these are not our festivals, and they are festivals that are not accepted or acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. their innovations, and even in their own religion, their innovations. And even if they weren't innovations, they were, and if they were prescribed by Allah in the past, they have been abrogated by the religion of Islam. Meaning the rules of Islam now, they erased those other rules. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be of the losers. So, and it is also haram to accept invitations to such occasions and gatherings, because this is worse than congratulating them, because now you're actually partaking in this celebration. And also because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever imitates a people is one of them. من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says imitating them is in some of their festivals implies that one is pleased with their false beliefs and practices and gives them the hope that they may have the opportunity to humiliate and mislead the weak. So with that, let's end. And we just want to stress that the problem with Christmas is that we don't have hatred for shirk, or that those Muslims who congratulate and so on, they don't have the hatred in their heart for shirk, or they're probably used to it because of constant exposure to it, or perhaps they do not see its seriousness. And sufficient for us is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about attributing a son to him in Surah Maryam. So we should read this and we should understand it and we should contemplate its meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 88th verse of Surah Maryam,
وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا لقد أحصاهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا.
وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. And they say the Most Gracious has begotten a son. Whether it be the Christians saying Jesus is the son of Allah, or the Jews saying Uzair or Ezra is the son of Allah. Then the second ayah, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Indeed, you have brought forth, or you have said, a terrible evil thing. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. Whereby the heavens are almost torn, are about to break apart, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins. أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. That they ascribe a son to the Most Gracious, meaning to Allah. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. But it is not suitable, meaning suitable for the majesty of the Most Gracious, Ar-Rahman, which is Allah, that he should beget a son. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes unto Allah as a slave. So everything in the heavens and the earth is a slave of Allah, including Isa ibn Maryam عليه السلام, and including Uzair. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّ. Verily he knows each one of them, and he has counted them, a full counting. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. And every one of them will come to him alone on the day of resurrection. So if we contemplate the greatness and the seriousness of what this means, we would not want to displease Allah, and we would not want to congratulate someone for something that displeases Allah to this extent. But sufficient for us is that Christmas involves shirk in it. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive shirk if that person dies before repenting from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما. That Allah does not forgive that others be taken as partners along with him or besides him, and he gives anything besides that to whomever he wills, and whoever does or performs shirk, he has indeed done a very evil or wicked deed. And the final advice for those who say that, you know, we partake in these celebrations and we congratulate as a way to give da'wah. And of course, we were so tired of hearing the da'wah excuse. Someone's doing something haram, oh, it's da'wah inshallah, it's good da'wah. Where does it end? So realistically, you're not giving them da'wah. You're actually encouraging them upon their disbelief. So where's the da'wah in that? And the second thing, an important rule, Allahu la yuta' min haythu yu'sa, that you don't do good deeds, that Allah is not obeyed through something which is disobedience. How do you obey Allah? By doing something that's disobedience. Wallahu la yuta' min haythu yu'sa. And on the contrary, this is one of the concepts people don't realize about da'wah. They think that, you know, you let it go and you become accepted and that's better for da'wah. Realistically, it's the opposite of that. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُ. This is very clear. This is you, this is me. Right? Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qalam, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qalam, they wish that you would compromise with them, so they would compromise with you. Just like the Catholics compromise for the pagans, now look what happened to their celebrations. So, and sufficient for us is the Trinity. The Trinity itself is a result of compromise to make Christianity appeal to the pagans. One of the early theologians, there were two of them. One of them, his name was Origen, and the other was Origen and Tertullian. And Origen was credited as being the first person to blend Greek mythology and Christian theology. Greek mythology, there's this God, and the God has a son, always. Zeus, and he has this child, and this guy, and these gods, they're funny, they get divorced, and they have this and that, and they quarrel. So he made a combination of Greek mythology and Christian theology, and he wrote these writings. And then later on, a man by the name of Saint Athanasius, and if you look up Saint Athanasius in the encyclopedia or anywhere, you will see that it also says, AKA, also known as the Father of the Trinity. And it so happens that he was also in Alexandria, a bishop there. In any case, he had the same ideas, and he was the first person to start to say that Jesus was the actual Son of God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from that. So we see that giving da'wah is showing different, showing, making a clear distinction, and not, you know, assimilating and whatever. I'll give you the last thing. There was we were on this tour around the country. It was supposed to be a da'wah thing, right? And they had this one person. They called him a quote-unquote an Islamic thinker. Now, of course, mashallah, everyone is an Islamic thinker. And this man, in a gathering of imams, said that I used to go and sit with one person who was a Christian, and we would go to this restaurant, and he would order champagne, and I would order apple juice, so that I would drink the apple juice and he would think that I'm actually drinking with him. This is an example of how we show that Islam is a flexible religion and so on. Now, do you think this kafir will say, mashallah, he's drinking with me, that means he has a great religion, let me become a Muslim? Or do you think that if he didn't drink and refused to sit with him, and when he tells him why, he tells him alcohol is the number one killer, it tears apart families, it has more evil in it than there is good, that the man might start to think, and then he might become Muslim? You will surely say, the second example is more logical. So with that, we want to warn our brothers who are calling the Muslims to celebrate Thanksgiving and to adopt other than the ways of the Muslims, and to adopt a path besides that of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم.
Allah says, so those who disobey His command, they should be aware that they will be afflicted with a fitna, or they will be affected with a painful torment. And the argument also might be that we want to fit in. But we say, okay, we want to fit in, and we don't want to be unpatriotic, so we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving just to show that we're American and so on, and to be accepted. And the response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And the Jews and the Christians will never accept you until you follow their creed, until you follow their beliefs. That's the end of the story. And we'll end with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. If anyone summons others to follow right guidance, his reward will be equivalent to those of the people who follow him, without their rewards being diminished in any respect in that account. So he's saying that if you call people to do a sunnah, or you remind them of that sunnah, okay, you teach one person or four that sunnah, and each one of those four goes to teach six other people that sunnah, and those six go to teach it to two other people, your reward will not be decreased as long as this keeps going on. This is also one of the tafasirs of Al-Kawthar, that this is the great abundance given to the Prophet ﷺ, is that all the good that we do, he gets a reward for it. It's something that's great. And in that light, when you do a bid'ah, you're actually taking away from the potential reward of the Prophet ﷺ. We should look at it under that light. And the Prophet ﷺ continues, and if anyone summons other to follow error, the sin of which he is guilty will be equivalent to those of the people who follow him, without their sins being diminished in any respect on that account. And this is narrated by Muslim. I didn't mention New Year's Eve, or did I? What I tried to do is put like the foundation so that now they can tell you any Eid and you'll immediately have the criteria to make the... We said New Year's. Is it a recurring Eid? Yes. Is there a gathering there? Yes. Is there an action there? Yes. Does it qualify as an Eid? Yes. Is it secular or non-secular? It doesn't matter. It's an Eid. Is it Eid al-Fitr? No. Is it Eid al-Adha? No. Khalas. So in that sense, I covered, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, New Year's and every other Eid there is. And I'm Easter and Advent and all these other. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. These are all the same arguments. We have two Eids. That's the end of the story. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unify the Muslims regarding the rulings in the Quran and the rulings of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a situation in which those who are righteous and are the people of obedience have the upper hand, and those of disobedience have the lower hand. Wa sallallahu wa barak ala al-mab'uth rahmatan lil'alameen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This concludes the lecture. We pray that you benefited from this, and we ask Allah to let it be a means of embetterment in this life and the next. For more lectures by this or other learned speakers, or to find out more information about Dar al-Arqam, log on to www.ciie.org. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.